Something concerning that I sometimes see is after someone is cheated on, they start to play what I call the pick me dance, where they are essentially auditioning for the role that they already had previously in the relationship, where they start to put on a whole song and dance and try to convince and grovel and show the other person that they were worthy of love, that like, actually, I am good enough not to be cheated on. And I want to explain really quickly why people do this and then explain a few steps on how they can move past it. So why does it happen? Basically, there are a couple of different psychological mechanisms that are working against you. The first one is just the panic of potential loss. So you just had this horrible thing happen. You're afraid of losing even more. And so you're going to be willing to debase yourself, essentially, to make sure you don't lose anything further. Second is the sunk cost fallacy, which basically says, okay, I've spent all these years building this relationship. I can't just walk away from what I've invested in so far. But the real question isn't about what you've already invested in, it's whether this relationship is still worth investing in. Number three, why people do this, why they play this whole song and dance trying to convince their partner that they weren't worth cheating on, is just the status quo bias, where even something awful, if it feels familiar, has the resemblance of feeling safe. Just because this is the way our brains are wired, we crave familiarity and consistency so much that even if it feels awful, you're willing to do anything to keep that sameness. And then there's trauma bonding, where you just get so addicted to that person because you're going through so much crap together. The intermittent reinforcement of your partner's attention becomes like a slot machine. And it's funny, I remember when I was a behavioral therapist with kids with autism, one of the things that they taught us is that random reinforcement is the most rewarding for people. Where if you're trying to teach the child with autism the alphabet, for example, and you reward them every single time that they do well, then it's not as rewarding as if it's the third time, and then the eighth time, and then the fourth time after that, where it's random, it's intermittent. And I actually have a lot of misgivings with using that methodology for kids with autism. That's a whole separate conversation. The relevant point here is that that becomes addictive, not knowing whether it will be good one night, bad the next night, etc. Keeps you just trauma bonded to this person. But ultimately, this type of pick me dance doesn't work, and you know that it won't work. It is communicating that your boundaries can be violated without consequence. It positions you as an option rather than as the priority. It rewards the very behavior that's destroying the relationship. It erodes the last bit of respect that your partner might have had for you, and it destroys your own self-respect. And I think those are the two biggest things. Oftentimes, there is a lack of respect that stands on the causal side of why the relationship fell apart. And doing that just makes it fall apart faster. And then it destroys your own self-respect. And so, most of the time, when I see people who the relationship is done and they're having a long, hard process of kind of getting back up on their feet afterward, a big part of the explanation why is because they lost so much self-respect in how they tried to save the marriage. Save the marriage in such a way where if you fail, you don't hate who you became in trying to save it. So, how can you actually stop the dance? Well, first, understand, acknowledge the instinct. You don't have to follow it though. So, appreciate what it is that your brain is trying to do. It's just trying to keep you familiar and safe. Like, to summarize what I said earlier, that is the main reason why it happens. It's just chemicals in your brain. It's the way that you're trying to survive, but you don't have to follow those initial instincts. Evolution was great to give us a whole set of instincts, but we know better often than to follow all of them. Second, you need to get clear consequences laid out. So people will often say, you can't do this to me again. This XYZ thing just is not an option, but they don't have an actual boundary. They don't have an actual consequence. There's no follow through. There need to be clear things. And it doesn't have to be completely black or white in terms of, all right, if we fight again, the relationship's over. But it could be if this smaller thing happens again, if I find out that you had one more phone call with this person, I'm going to at least move out of the house. Doesn't mean the relationship's over per se if you're trying to seek reconciliation, but there need to be small steps of clear boundaries. And then seek support from people that won't allow you to debase yourself, that won't allow you to lose that self-respect for yourself. Remember this, no one has ever danced their way, groveled their way into a loving, healthy, trusting relationship. And remember that your dignity is non-negotiable. And ironically, maintaining it is actually your only chance at saving the relationship. So this is maybe the biggest thing to take away from this. If your goal is really to save the marriage, you can't do that as someone who's coming at it from a position of begging. It will never work.